If you're a regular listener to The Inner Life, you've likely heard me talk about being a convert to the Catholic Church. It's been almost 20 years since I was received into the church, and through all those years, there's one aspect of Catholic belief and practice that has maybe been more difficult to adjust to try and live out, than almost anything else for me as a Catholic. Any idea what it might be? I'll explain what it is coming up next.
Helping you grow deeper on your spiritual journey. Welcome to The Inner Life with Josh Raymond.
Hello, once again, welcome to this hour of spiritual direction. This is the hour of The Inner Life where we try and understand how God might be working in our lives, leading us, how we can follow that prompting from the Holy Spirit and grow closer in our relationship with God. And, well, so I came from an evangelical background, and when I was on my journey into the Catholic Church, there were many things that were similar or identical to what I had always believed. God is a trinity of persons. Jesus is fully God and fully human. He died on the cross for the sins of all humanity, past, present, future, and it's only through the sacrifice of Jesus that we can receive the mercy and the grace of God, allowing us to then have the hope of someday being able to enter heaven and be with God through all eternity. All of this was all the same for me before and after coming into the Catholic Church. And then there were those things that were different, things like Jesus being truly present in the Eucharist, that communion was not merely a symbol, sacramental confession, praying to Mary and the saints, asking for their intercession, things like this. But by the time I was received into the Catholic Church, all of those things, I had readily embraced them. However, there was this one thing, this one practice that I would hear mentioned by other Catholics, and it was quite foreign to me. Some of the different Catholic families that I got to know when I was going through RCIA, they would occasionally throw out this phrase, offer it up. Usually it was a mom or a dad that was telling their child to offer it up when the child was dealing with something unpleasant. And I'm not sure when I first understood, when I first learned that offer it up was a phrase that meant a Catholic, a believer, should offer their sufferings to God, that they were uniting their small personal sufferings, the discomforts, to the suffering that and that agony that Christ endured on the cross. And I said small personal suffering. Some of our sufferings are very large. I'm not trying to minimize that. But this concept, this was something I'd never really thought about at all in my years growing up as an evangelical Christian. Well, I recently read the experience of a young man, another convert to the Catholic Church. His name is Eric. And a conversation that he had that helped him better grasp the concept of what it really means to offer it up. Eric, like me, he had never heard of redemptive suffering. He came from an evangelical background. But one day, after he was a Catholic, after his conversion, he was texting back and forth with two of his friends, a married couple, David and Angela. And at one point, Angela, she sent a text to Eric that said, "Oh, I had knee surgery this morning also, and I'm trying to make good use of my suffering. How can we be interceding for you?" And Eric was amazed by Angela's approach to suffering. He said, and this is his words, "Most people, including myself, would say something like, 'Hey, can you please pray for me? I just had knee surgery.' But my friend Angela did the opposite. She didn't want her suffering to go to waste. Imagine a world where we all had this attitude. Rather than complaining about our sufferings or turning inward on ourselves during those tough times, we turn outward and unite our sufferings to Christ's for the healing of others." Well, I think Eric's words are spot on. But even though I know this is a wonderful thing to do, it's a saintly thing to do, often I still don't remember to do it. It's hard for me to have that attitude when suffering comes up. Even this week, a couple of nights ago, I slept wrong. I woke up with a crick in my neck. And what did I do? First thing I do, I complained about it to my wife. I did exactly what Eric described. I turned inward with that suffering, grumbling about it, just wanting the pain to go away. I didn't take that opportunity to turn my suffering into something more. And what exactly is that something more that our suffering can become? Well, this is what we want to talk about today during this hour of the inner life, that concept and the practice of redemptive suffering. And our spiritual director for the hour, Father Rob Kroll, is back here as our guest on The Inner Life. He is a Jesuit priest and the director of spiritual formation at St. Francis de Sales Seminary in Milwaukee. Father Rob, welcome back to The Inner Life.
Thanks, Josh. Good to be with you and our listeners today.
Well, so redemptive suffering, this is one of those, I kind of have this idea that anybody who grew up in a home where their mom or their dad or maybe a grandmother was constantly saying, offer it up, you have this head start for those of us who didn't grow up with this concept, because I constantly find myself having to kind of, you know, reorient myself, and it takes time for me to say, okay, I'm suffering. Yeah, I should stop the complaining. I should go ahead and take that and offer it up. Did you grow up in a home where you heard that phrase, offer it up, fairly regularly?
I did. On occasion, for sure, yep. And I think, you know, even for those of us that might have had that experience growing up, it can be difficult because, you know, at least those of us living in the United States today and who have maybe a certain level of comfort and ease in our life, you know, we're not prone immediately to want to offer up our sufferings. Like you said in your own testimony, you know, our first default reaction is often to complain, and we live in kind of an instant gratification culture, and we live in a culture where, you know, there are, praise God, a lot of ways that we can, you know, medicate pain and that we can deal with problems quickly and efficiently, which again isn't a bad thing, but it does make it difficult sometimes to really remember to offer up our sufferings. And I think one of the things we'll talk about, I'm sure, in the hour is how we as Catholics, it's kind of a paradox, because on the one hand, you know, we Catholics are very instrumental in alleviating suffering, you know, in many places in the world. And so we don't want to sort of glorify suffering just in and of itself. We do try to eliminate it. But at the end of the day, we all have crosses. We all do suffer. And so how we unite that to the cross of Christ for a meaningful purpose is really huge. But I'm sure we'll get into that.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll be a big part of our conversation here too. But maybe to start off with, we can look at where we get this from, the deposit of faith. And mm-hmm. we take this concept of redemptive suffering primarily from where St. Paul, this is in his letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, verse 24, he writes and he says, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church." Can you maybe unpack this for us? You know, I think the biggest question that most people have when they come across this passage is where Paul says he's filling up what is lacking in Christ's mm-hmm. afflictions. You know, what sure. could ever be lacking there in that perfect one-time sacrifice on the cross?
Yep. Yeah, no, it's an excellent question. And, you know, the way that I like on retreats, for example, that I'll often explain this is to say that when Paul talks about what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ, he's not talking about something deficient in Christ's death or passion. You know, as you yourself said, it's a perfect sacrifice, of course. So if it's not deficient, what does lacking mean? It's lacking in the sense that it's not yet fully completed, or there's something yet to be finished about it, because he is the head and we are his members. And so together, Christ and all the people of God, we make up the body of Christ. And if I can use this analogy, this makes sense to me, and I often share it with others, is you might think about a great a composer, you know, a Beethoven or Mozart, for example, who sat down and wrote a symphony or a piano concerto. And, you know, obviously it took them time to work this out. And they had all these notes on the page that are carefully written down. And at some point, that piece of music was finished or completed. And we might say it's kind of perfect in the sense that, you know, these are very talented musicians and they wrote this very beautiful piece of music. So at some point, the last quarter note or half note or full note is put on the page. And on one level, the symphony or piano concerto is now done. But, you know, what really makes this piece of music special is the fact that now for, you know, in some cases for centuries, orchestras around the world have been playing this same piece of music. And as it's played in, you know, Milwaukee or New York or Sydney or wherever in the world, the people who are there kind of have this music wash over them and they get to participate in it. They get to be you know, partakers, as it were, of this beautiful music, even to the point of maybe being moved to tears, and they leave the hall transformed or changed. And so the composer, Beethoven or Mozart or whoever, you know, they didn't do this music just in their isolated, you know, study for it to be something that they alone enjoy, but they want others to have the opportunity to participate in it. And so if I can use that as an analogy, you know, Christ offers this perfect sacrifice 2,000 years ago on Calvary, but he gives us his body. He gives us the chance to, you know, share in that redemptive act. We're, as it were, kind of co-redeemers with him to the extent that we can unite our current sufferings and all of our sufferings throughout history can be united to his one perfect sacrifice. So I just think that gives our suffering so much more dignity and meaning. And, you know, just experience shows that Christians can endure an awful lot of pain and suffering if they know consciously, intentionally, that Christ is suffering in and through them, and that somehow their suffering is united to his to help save the world.
Well, and as you're saying that, Father, it's making me think too, you know, when we stop being so focused on ourselves and mm-hmm. we look and say, you know, even though I'm going through this suffering, I care about this other person or this other group or, you know, these other people. That really is God working in our lives to where we more fully understand what true love is, you know, in the truest sense, that agape love that God has for us. You know, he invites us in so that we can then grow in that charitable, perfect love as well. You know, it's something that we're all striving for, hopefully, in following Christ, but has yet to be achieved. You know, we have room to grow, but, you know, that I think that's the other part there that I'm hearing from you is not only does it give meaning, but we can see that God is allowing us to become more like him by loving others.
Yes, and I think your emphasis on love or charity is really important here because, you know, we all, hopefully we've all had experiences of loving, you know, others, be it our own families or certain friends in our lives. And so we know that love is going to involve suffering. We suffer ourselves, but we also suffer because other people that we love suffer. And so there's a solidarity there. Maybe that's a good word to use when it comes to talking about our uniting our own sufferings with that of Jesus Christ, but then also uniting, you know, other people's sufferings with our own and offering our own sufferings on their behalf and to help them. You know, we're all kind of cells in the body of Christ. And so how I live and how I approach my life and the sufferings that I endure, that affects others and vice versa. So, yeah, I think being motivated by love is really at the core of it, because we can endure a lot of difficulty if it's done, you know, for love. You know, I don't know about you, Josh, or our listeners, but, you know, every morning when I get out of bed, one of the first things I say is the morning offering. And I know there's different versions of it, but, you know, I usually say my version is that part of it is, you know, I offer you, Lord, my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day. And so to know that, you know, my sufferings, whatever they might be, and often they're very small and trivial on one level, but that we're offering something very pleasing to God and very powerful for the world's healing when we do offer up those sufferings. Sometimes we, like Lent's coming up in less than a week, and we willingly take on certain sufferings. We usually call them mortifications or ascetical practices. But, you know, if I forego a warm shower and take a cold shower on a winter Wisconsin day, or if I fast in a certain way and feel some hunger, you know, we do that, again, not because we're dour people who just want to somehow suffer, but because we unite that small suffering. We usually unite it to some intention for someone else. It could be the people that just died in the earthquake in Turkey and Syria, or it could be a friend of mine that's going through chemo or whatever. But the whole idea is, you know, we're doing this for love of God, for love of our neighbor. And so, yeah, we can't underestimate the importance of that.
Talking with Father Rob Kroll today, he is the Director of Spiritual Formation at St. Francis de Sales in Seminary in Milwaukee, and talking about redemptive suffering. When have you been able to offer your sufferings to Christ? And what did you see come from that? Did you see the fruit of offering those sufferings to Christ? How were you able to embrace your sufferings, knowing that they really did serve a larger purpose? And how did that draw you closer to Christ? Maybe you are in the midst of suffering right now. You're going through some sort of difficulty, and it's difficult. It seems distant that you would ever be able to offer those and unite those with Christ. Or maybe you're just not sure how to do that, and you'd like to talk with Father Rob. The phone number into the studio is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. One other thing that I think might be good to highlight in that passage from St. Paul in his letter to the Colossians, the very first few words, he says, "I rejoice in my sufferings." Mm-hmm. You know, and as you and I both have said, you know, that initial first response when we are suffering, it seems like we want to complain. You know, my wife, she wants to tell me when she's suffering. I want to tell her. You know, we turn to that person who's maybe closest to us. And I don't think it's this natural response for us to rejoice in our sufferings, even though St. Paul is talking about that. How do you think we can cultivate an attitude of joy, of rejoicing, when we face suffering?
Yeah, this is a really important question, and I hope we can, you know, keep talking about it throughout the hour, because I think, you know, on the surface, it seems as if suffering, especially deep suffering, heavy suffering, cannot coexist with a deep joy. They seem to be polar opposites. And again, we don't want to be Pollyannish here. We don't want to minimize the fact that the suffering may be actually quite acute and quite painful. But I think about how some of the great saints in our tradition, maybe especially the martyrs, could endure their sufferings, whatever tortures they might be going through, but actually maintain a spirit of, if not joy, at least peacefulness and trust in God. And, you know, some of the martyrs literally went to their deaths with smiles on their faces. Or we have some of the writings of witnesses of these martyrs where it talks about how they were, you know, actually praising God for this opportunity to give their life out of love for Him and out of love for their brothers and sisters, and even out of love for their enemies, you know, not hating their executioners, but, you know, accepting this death as an opportunity to witness and to surrender their lives to God. I think about somebody like Mother Teresa, for example, St. Teresa of Calcutta, who, you know, endured many decades of interior suffering. She felt very much darkness and didn't really experience often the Lord's consoling presence. And yet she had a smile on her face. She was at prayer and adoration and Mass every day with her sisters. And of course, she lived this beautiful life of joyful love and service of the poorest of the poor. So she might be a modern day example of somebody who could really, and we know how much she suffered because we have now her writings, her journals and letters and things that reveal the depth of the suffering. And yet, you know, the world saw her joy. So, yeah, I think about that. There's another passage too, 1 Peter 4:13-14. Rejoice to the extent that you share in the sufferings of Christ, so that when his glory is revealed, you may also rejoice exultantly. So I think, yeah, to say that we can suffer and yet be joyful, it is a paradox, but it is possible.
Well, I'm glad you brought up that part from that's 1 Peter, you said?
So 1 Peter 4, yeah, verses 13 and 14.
Right, because that keeps the end goal kind of in focus there. It's not just suffering right now for suffering's own sake. And St. Paul, you know, I remember when in one of his letters to Timothy, he talks about that too. He says, if we endure, then we shall reign. So, you know, there's this this constant kind of encouragement that we see in especially the letters in the New Testament, those epistles, where if we are able to make it through this, it's the if then.
Right.
And the don't forget about the second part of that clause, the if then clause. That means then we do have that reward. We do have that peace that's granted to us. You know, we do participate in the resurrection.
Yep. And I'm sure after our break in the second half, we can talk more about like the reality that one of the ways that we can endure even quite a bit of suffering now is by remembering that it's temporary, you know, that at some point it is going to end and we're going to experience this glorious, joyful existence with God in heaven. And again, that sounds maybe kind of escapist, but it really is a comfort to us to know that whatever suffering God permits, it's not to last forever.
Right. Yeah. So. I would imagine that all you have to do is talk with a woman who's given birth, you know, natural childbirth, and, you know, they're willing to endure that childbirth knowing that there's so much good that will come from that, you know, in being able to hold the new baby, being able to have the joy of watching their child grow and develop and all those years that are ahead of them. So again, talking with Father Rob Kroll here today on The Inner Life, talking about redemptive suffering and how have you been able to offer your sufferings for others? How have you seen that impact the person or the people that you've offered those sufferings for? Maybe the way that God has worked in their life. And of course, how has God worked in your own life, your relationship with Him, because of uniting those sufferings to Christ on the cross? Maybe you're going through suffering right now and you'd like some advice, some insight on how you can more effectively offer those sufferings. And our phone number into the studio is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Our email address, innerlife@relevantradio.com. Ashley, I see you on hold there. We'll try and get to you right after the break. You're listening to Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Looking for a new job? How about one that offers you opportunities for spiritual, social, and charitable growth? Our sponsor, the Catholic Order of Foresters, is hiring new agents today. Visit relevantradio.com/forester, an Illinois life insurance society not available in all states. Talking about redemptive suffering here today on The Inner Life. Welcome back. I'm Josh Raymond, joined by Father Rob Kroll. Father Rob is a Jesuit priest, the director of spiritual formation at St. Francis de Sales Seminary in Milwaukee. And how can we unite our sufferings with Christ for the good of the body of Christ? And of course, it allows us to grow in relationship with God, but also allows God to work through those sufferings for whatever purpose that He has, whatever He can do through those sufferings, those difficulties that we unite with Christ. How have you seen that take place, play out in your own life? Maybe you are going through that suffering right now. You're looking for some encouragement, some advice, just a little bit of help on your journey. You're welcome to call in. 888-914-9149 is the number to call in and talk with Father Rob Kroll. 888-914-9149. And Father Ashley is calling in from Arlington, Texas. Ashley, glad to have you on The Inner Life.
Thank you. Good morning, Father. I was wondering how like mortifications that we choose play into this question, and if there's anything we need to watch out or be careful with that.
Thanks, Ashley. Great question. Yes, so I think that we as Catholics have a very rich tradition of practicing mortifications or ascetical practices, not just in Lent, but, you know, even throughout the year, and that could take many forms. I think about the guys here in the seminary, pretty much all of them, for example, go with meatless Fridays. Some of them may skip a meal on Friday. Some of them may take a cold shower one or more days a week. Some of them might sleep on the floor once a week, just a little less comfortable than the mattress. And, you know, again, all of this has to be done as best we can with a pure motive and intention. You know, it's certainly not about trying to just punish ourselves, you know, in a, again, a very dour or negative spirit. It's not in any way trying to be Pelagian, meaning trying to earn God's love more, as if, you know, he's going to be, he'll love us more if we somehow, you know, take on these practices. But I think, you know, ultimately it's about a few things. One is we want to show God, and we have to be very, we're body and soul unity. We're embodied spirits. And so we need to use our bodies to show God at times that he is number one in our life, that we want him to be the central, you know, to be at the very center of our lives. We don't want any earthly creature, which may be a very good creature, you know, a hot shower, a meal. These are all good things, good gifts of God. But sometimes we renounce them freely in order to show God that we don't want any other creature to compete with our allegiance to him and our worship of him. But then in light of what we're talking about in our program today, you know, we can also offer these particular little inconveniences or minor sufferings. We can offer them back to the Lord as a pleasing sacrifice, and we can offer them on behalf of somebody else. So at least in my own life, I find it meaningful if I do take a cold shower or skip a meal or fast in some way to say, Lord, I as I do this, you know, I want to kind of make it a prayer. I want to offer it for, you know, so-and-so who may be suffering today. It may be a lot more than I am right now. So I think, you know, just trying to do it with the right spirit is important. And ultimately, as we were saying earlier in the hour, doing it out of love for God, but also out of love for and on behalf of somebody else. It might be a person that we know, somebody that we love, but it could be, you know, like I was saying before, maybe these earthquake victims in the Middle East, or there was just, you know, another mass shooting on a college campus. We can offer it for people we don't even know, but who God knows and who we're united to in the order of grace. So I hope that helps a little bit.
Very good question. I'm glad you called in, Ashley. You know, Father, if we are taking on those mortifications, or even if we're not, if it's just, okay, you know, whatever I'm going through, I know I'm dealing with this suffering in my life. Mm-hmm. Do you think that if we do find ourselves kind of, you know, at different times complaining, maybe to that person who is closest to us, you know, a spouse or a parent or, you know, a sibling or whatever, does that lessen the kind of redemptive effect of the suffering? Should we be trying to bear our suffering just in silence there so that we can say, God, use the most of whatever I can offer for you?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Josh. You know, and I think it's kind of complicated because on the one hand, you know, if it's a suffering that obviously is visible to others, I mean, if I've, you know, broken my leg and it's in a cast, you know, people are going to notice that and maybe offer me some sympathy and so forth. So there may be sufferings that other people notice and, you know, we don't want to maybe, I think there's a difference between being honest with maybe especially a spouse or somebody who's close to us, you know, just saying, you know, to be honest, this particular suffering is really hard for me right now. It weighs heavy on me, and yet not to let that become a long diatribe of complaining and so forth, because I think that does kind of take away from the, you know, the purity of our intention and the merit of offering that to God. But I think there are also sufferings, you know, and Mother Teresa is, again, a good example where I think she endured a lot of that, you know, just interiorly. She certainly shared it with Jesus a lot. But I think there was something powerful about her suffering precisely because she didn't draw attention to it and kind of kept it hidden. So I would say that, you know, all things being equal, it's probably a little more meritorious if we can endure a suffering without complaining to others, or at least certainly not advertising it kind of widely. And if we can accomplish some of these mortifications also in a more hidden fashion. So, you know, not telling everybody in the house here at the seminary that I'm doing the cold shower or fasting, but just, you know, kind of keeping it hidden. I can remember years ago in college, kind of tongue in cheek, I think, but there was a priest who on Ash Wednesday said, we're all kind of hypocrites because, you know, Jesus says, you know, when you fast, you know, don't make it, you know, don't proclaim it and make it a big visible thing. But then, of course, on Ash Wednesday,
sure,
we all put big cross on our forehead. And, you know, but I think the point is, yeah, to try to be very humble as we go about enduring our suffering.
Yeah, you know, as you're saying that, some of it, I think, also comes down to in the moment when you're going through that suffering, or if you've taken on a mortification, if you're trying to draw attention to yourself, it becomes what Jesus said, you have your reward. You know, if you want people to acknowledge that, well, you've received your reward at that moment. If you, on the other hand, have gone through some sort of suffering, and it gives you an opportunity to share how you made it through that, how you were able to offer that, how you could unite that to Christ, that then becomes, I think, a witness and an encouragement to others who might not be at the same place in their spiritual journey that, oh, this is something maybe I could take on. And instead of grumbling and complaining and kind of wallowing in that misery there, I can now have the insight that there could be more to this, that God will use this for something greater.
Right. No, that's really important, because you're right. At some point, sharing it can be an inspiration to others. I also think it's really important to make a distinction between, like, we certainly don't want to encourage anybody that is a listener today to think that they just have to suffer like some great tragedy or a very difficult, painful situation in isolation, you know, as if they shouldn't go get, you know, the help of a good counselor or speak to a good friend or something. So we're not encouraging you to just sort of buck up under it and white knuckle it on your own. Not at all.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, yeah. So seeking the help that we need, because we all need one another. But the spiritual reality that we're trying to get at is just, you know, especially again with more minor sufferings, not to seek other people's, not to make it a source of pride, of vanity or pride or something
right,
like that.
Right.
You know, that's where we're getting at.
Again, Father Rob Kroll is our spiritual director here on The Inner Life, and our phone number, 888-914-9149, talking about redemptive suffering today. And how have you been able to unite your sufferings with Christ? How has that allowed you to grow in relationship with Christ? And how did you see the impact of that maybe in somebody that you were offering that suffering for, how God was able to work in their life? Maybe you're going through that suffering right now, and being able to offer it and unite it, it's a difficulty. It's something you're struggling with. You'd like some advice, some encouragement. Father Rob is here to take your call, 888-914-9149. Father Andrea is listening to us in New Jersey. Hi, Andrea. Welcome to The Inner Life. You're on the air with Father Rob.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. Father Rob, I understand that from listening that the first approach is not to complain. I am going through a lot of suffering right now, both physically, emotionally, and I'm having, you know, some serious issues. And I was just looking for some other concrete ways be able to offer them up, as well as just being able to, what about if you complain to God? I mean, you know, sometimes they do that.
Sure. No, Andrea, thanks for calling in and sharing that. And, you know, we have lots of good examples in the Bible. I think of somebody like Job, for example, of, you know, somebody who, yeah, was not hiding the fact that he was suffering and spoke to the Lord very clearly about it. Jesus himself, you know, in the garden was suffering terribly as he was approaching his death, and even asked the Father to take it away if that was his will. So there's no shame in speaking very honestly from the heart to God, to our Heavenly Father, to Jesus, and also invoking our Blessed Mother and the saints for help. So by all means, I think one of the ways that we can deal with suffering in a healthy way and endure a lot of suffering is by sharing it directly with the Lord. And, you know, we always want to add that caveat at the end, you know, your will be done. And we'll talk, I think, in the program also about kind of whether God wills our suffering or allows it and all that. But I think it's very important for you, Andrea, and anybody who's suffering greatly to be very honest with God about that. You asked about maybe some practical things we can do. You know, at least as Catholics, you know, we have the opportunity at Mass, for example, to kind of place on the altar a suffering that we may be going through and uniting it to the suffering, the sacrificial suffering of Jesus Christ. So that's one thing we can do is, you know, very specifically at Mass, unite our suffering with His. There's also the Stations of the Cross, and that's a popular devotion during Lent, but we can do it, you know, throughout the year as well. And so any way in which we can kind of pray with the Lord's own suffering, His passion, and then bring our suffering to Him in that, I think that is very, very helpful. And then praying, you know, we have the Rosary, we have the Sorrowful Mysteries of the Rosary on Tuesdays and Fridays. So all of those forms of prayer and sacraments that you know, that we have in our Catholic tradition can be ways of uniting our suffering to the Lord's. So those would be some initial thoughts.
Father, you know, as I'm listening to Andrea too, it seems like there's this, you know, it might just be feeling borderline overwhelming, you know, mm-hmm. in the moment going mm-hmm. through this. And maybe you can give some advice on how do we in that suffering maintain our trust, not give in to despair, and just kind of, you know, like St. Peter tells us, cast all your cares upon Christ because He cares for you.
Right. And so I think maybe remembering that if we are going through some suffering, that first of all, God knows all about it. He's not deaf to it or blind to it. And that God is very near to us in it. And I think, again, as Christians, I'm not sure how other faith traditions approach this, but from our perspective, the fact that we have a God who entered the human condition, took on a human nature, and He didn't just suffer, you know, in the last few days of His life. I mean, He had sufferings throughout His life. He was rejected by many people in His culture, even some relatives, family members. His own disciples misunderstood Him. You know, He suffered the loss of Lazarus, and we're told that He wept. So He obviously, he endured a lot of the same kind of everyday sufferings that we do, as well as His very great heroic suffering and His passion. So to know that God understands and is close to us, I think that's really huge. Also to realize that, you know, God doesn't inflict suffering on us, you know, in a harsh way. He does permit suffering, and often that we struggle to understand that and see His providential care in it. But one of the truths I think that we really have to really grasp very firmly is that if God allows a suffering, even a great suffering, ultimately it is for some good. You know, it could be that it's going to keep us very close to Him and dependent on Him. It could be that it's going to, maybe if I'm a self-reliant kind of pull myself up by the bootstraps person, this suffering might force me to reach out to my family and friends and others who can support me at this time. And again, not in that complaining mode, but just saying, I need help, you know,
right. Yeah.
And that can be
in a humility, you know, kind of focus.
Yeah, the humility. Right. Exactly.
Right.
So I think it's really important to, again, that's all part of seeing the purpose or the meaning of suffering, that God is using it to bring about some great good, maybe growth in some virtue for us. And if nothing else, just trusting, you know, that God is going to be with us in it. And, you know, I mean, if I think about this sometimes, if our lives were truly, quote unquote, perfect, if we had no sufferings, we had no difficulties, we might think that that's the ideal life. But I think very quickly we would become super, you know, proud and arrogant. We would lack gratitude. We wouldn't have empathy for other people that are suffering anymore. I mean, life would actually be, spiritually speaking and morally speaking, a lot worse. So it's a paradox again that we, to actually be fully happy and to be fully flourishing as human beings, we need a certain amount of suffering, because the lessons that suffering teaches are invaluable, and we can't really learn them any other way.
Yeah. Again, talking with Father Rob Kroll. He is the director of spiritual formation at St. Francis de Sales Seminary in Milwaukee, talking about redemptive suffering today and taking your phone calls at 888-914-9149. Maybe you have a question about what we're talking about. You're welcome to call in and speak with Father Rob Kroll, 888-914-9149. And we do have a lot of callers on hold, so Father, we'll try and get to as many of them as we can right after this short break. We'll be right back here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. This hour is sponsored by St. Gregory Recovery Center, helping you or a loved one live a substance-free life. Information at relevantradio.com/Gregory. That's relevantradio.com/Gregory. This is The Inner Life on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm Josh Raymond. Today, speaking with Father Rob Kroll, a Jesuit priest, the director of spiritual formation at St. Francis de Sales Seminary in Milwaukee, talking about redemptive suffering. If you joined us late, I want to encourage you, after the show ends, go listen to the podcast. If you know somebody who's going through some difficulty, some suffering in their life, I'd encourage you to share this hour with them. Maybe it'll be a bit of encouragement for them on how their suffering really does have meaning. It has purpose. You can find the podcast at relevantradio.com or on the Relevant Radio app. And again, our phone number, if you'd like to call in, speak with Father Rob Kroll, the phone number is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Father, we've got Andrea calling in from White Bear Lake, Minnesota. Andrea, welcome to The Inner Life.
Hi, Josh. Hi, Father. Quick question. So if you are asking people to pray for you when you're not feeling well, I'm part of a big prayer warrior group. So is that like still whining and now it's out in the open? Can you still get redemptive suffering, or does it cancel it out by asking for prayers? Because now they know that you're suffering. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I think it's very good to actually ask other people to pray, because that's one of the ways that we're able to endure suffering well, is by knowing that we're being supported in prayer by others. And again, asking for prayers isn't the same as, you know, going on in a whiny or complaining fashion. So I think it's fine. You know, I do have to smile. I think about St. Paul and how often in his epistles we get kind of these catalogs of his own suffering, you know, and it can seem a little bit at times like maybe he's going overboard, but I think, you know, it's helpful to kind of know all that he did experience. It makes us feel like, well, I can draw strength from St. Paul's example, too. So, no, by all means, ask for prayers. That's really important.
Thanks so much for calling in, Andrea. Great question. Father, let's go to Beatrice, who is listening in Portland, Oregon. And Beatrice, you're on the air with Father Rob.
Thank you for taking my call. Thank you, Father. A question, Father. Is it possible to offer suffering retroactively? Let's say I came to understand the meaning of suffering later on in my life, and I want to offer to God something that happened in my childhood, for instance. Is that possible?
Yeah, it's a great question, because it would seem like maybe we can't offer that suffering because it's over and done with. But remember that God lives outside of time. You know, he lives, all of time is present to him. And so what is maybe past in our own experience or our own human history is not lost to him. So by all means, I think if we've come later in life to the appreciation of the role of redemptive suffering, we can still say, Lord, you know, even though this maybe suffering has now ended, I want to lay it at your feet and ask you to use it for good. So that strikes me as something very legitimate.
Yeah, another great question there, Beatrice. Thanks for calling in. Again, our phone number, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. You know, Father, one of the things that maybe we can talk about here, I want to get back to the phones, but I think there's this natural inclination, if we're going through suffering, we can think, well, is God punishing me? Mm-hmm. And well, yeah, that could be the case. There could be the fact, you know, we we know that if we kind of stray from the path, God might try and redirect us, get us on the right path again. But there are other times where, you know, I think of the blind man who couldn't, you know, he Jesus is going to heal him. And Jesus' disciples ask, well, who sinned? And why is this man blind? Who, you know, whose fault is it, his or his parents? And they don't consider that there could be another option. So how do we maybe look and understand if what we're going through is God kind of, you know, disciplining us, chastening us, trying to get us back to where we need to be, versus if it's the suffering that he wants to use for these redemptive purposes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think what we're raising is are some really important distinctions. Obviously, all of this is kind of mysterious, and we may not fully understand God's purposes or what his providence is doing. But I think, it's good for us to kind of make these distinctions. I mean, on the one hand, I may be suffering in large part because of my own sinfulness or selfishness. You know, think about somebody whose life is very morally corrupt or who is far from God. It's not so much, again, that God inflicts maybe the suffering as a punishment, but rather he set up the world and he's designed human nature in such a way that if we don't follow his will and his laws, which are loving and tailored to us, then just kind of naturally we're going to be miserable and we're going to endure a certain amount of suffering. So it's not like if I jump off, you know, a 5-story building and break my leg on the sidewalk, it's not like God sent me this broken leg as a punishment. It's just that, you know, he's designed my body. And
it's a natural consequence.
It's a natural consequence, right? So I think that's how I often prefer to look at it. But again, but God can use it to wake us up and to get us back on the right path. I mean, sometimes he has to permit maybe even some long-term or some very grievous suffering because of how far we are from him. Everything's done out of love, and it's all done ultimately for our salvation, to get us to heaven, to enjoy eternal life with him. So if that means he has to, you know, permit, I almost said cause, I would say probably permit suffering in this life for a time, so be it, you know. But the tough thing is, yeah, our instinct is maybe to think that he's just punishing me or he's not even interested. He doesn't really care. And those aren't good Christian perspectives. So.
Father, let's get one more phone call in here in these last couple of minutes of the hour. Christina listening in Scottsdale, Arizona. Welcome to The Inner Life. You're on the air with Father Rob Kroll.
Good morning, Father and Josh.
Hi,
I have a quick question. Can I offer up my suffering that I have a fractured back, I fell down concrete stairs, and I have a dear friend that passed away a month ago, 77 years old, who was an absolute non-believer. He was into science. Would he be in purgatory or hell? Would my offering up my suffering help him move on wherever he is?
Yeah, that's a great question, Christina. I think in our Catholic perspective, we would say that we can offer prayers, and one form of prayer is our suffering. We can offer that for what we often call the poor souls in purgatory. So for those deceased persons who are now undergoing their own maybe suffering, but it's a purgative suffering. It's actually a joyful suffering because they know that they're going to be in heaven. So, but there's some kind of experience that they're going through of being purged of any sin or selfishness or darkness in their hearts. So I think, yes, that's another way in which our suffering can be very meaningful, not just offering it for somebody who's already or still on earth, but for people who have died and are now in that process of purification. If somebody is in hell, I think we would say that, you know, that's kind of a definitive situation, that our prayers or our suffering cannot really help them to move out of hell. But I would say it's really important to realize that this person you're referring to, even if they didn't have any overt religious faith, you know, none of us can know ultimately where any human being ends up. And there are certainly people who didn't have explicit faith who may very well be in heaven with God because of, you know, other people's, they might have had an implicit faith, you know, even if it wasn't explicit, the reasons for their lack of faith may not have been fully due to them. And so anyway, just be careful. We have to be careful about assigning people to hell without really knowing that. But,
Father, we're down to just our last few moments here, but
yep.
Before we wrap up, You mentioned Mother Teresa, Saint Mother Teresa, as somebody that we could look to. Any other saints you might direct us to that could be a good example for us if we want to kind of dive deeper, learn more about redemptive suffering?
Well, I think we know we've been talking about Saint Paul throughout the the program, and I think he would certainly be one. I think of some of the martyrs too. I mean, I think recently, for example, we had a group of Japanese martyrs that we celebrated, Paul Meeke and companions, and the eyewitness that wrote about their sufferings, you know, talked about kind of the joy that, that they actually had on their faces as they were being crucified in Japan. So I think turning to some of the martyr saints can be very helpful. You know, somebody too, like Saint Therese, the little flower who many of us admire, you know, her how she handled her illness.
Going through tuberculosis there.
Right.
That's perfect. Father, we are out of time. It's always good to talk with you, but in the we got about 20 seconds here for a final blessing for our listeners.
Okay. Heavenly Father, please send down your Holy Spirit upon all of us, especially those of us that may be going through a very difficult trial or suffering right now. Give us the strength and the courage and the love to endure it. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down upon all our listeners and remain with them forever. Amen.
Amen. All right. Thanks again, Father Rob, for being with us here for this hour of The Inner Life. We've got Mass coming up next, followed by The Faith Explained. Talk to you tomorrow.